My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
An insider's look at the National Football League. It's NFL Lunch,
presented by Ruth's Chris Steakhouse,
with Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
And I just want to move forward. I want a team to look at me and value me as a top receiver so I can go out there and continue to do what I do and show them every single day the same way that I've been. That's, in fact, what I am.
Vinny and Haney back on 105.7 The Fan on this Turn It Up Tuesday, feeding you some NFL Lunch. Cordell Woodland filling in for the Bobster. Vinny just left to go out to the Ravens practice. Still here with my guy, Quick Draw McGraw, feeding you some football. You heard from Brandon Ayuk there, wide receiver for the San Francisco 49ers. That audio courtesy of the Pivot podcast with Ryan Clark. And Brandon Ayuk just saying he wants to get paid what he deserves. And these days, getting paid what you deserve as a wide receiver kind of breaks the bank, and it is kind of falling into that same mode of quarterback where whoever's next is the guy that's getting paid. You look at the top wide receiver list, and you may feel like some guys should be paid more than others, but it's definitely all about who's next. And Brandon Ayuk seems to be the guy that's up next, coming off of a 1,300-plus yard season for the Niners, 7 touchdowns. With them out there, led the team in targets, led the team in receptions as well. And I think he's a bigger part of that offense than people will give him credit for. You look and you see Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle and Deebo Samuel out there, and Ayuk kind of gets lost in the shuffle, but he's definitely a huge part of that offense. And if he's gone, I just don't know if they have another receiver that can fill his void. As good as Deebo Samuel is, Deebo isn't the receiver, the true receiver that Brandon Ayuk is, and I don't know if they have anybody on that team that can match it.
But what's funny is I feel like Deebo gets more attention than Ayuk, or he gets talked about on a national level like he's the guy. Mm-hmm. He's the top receiver there, and I agree with you. I think Ayuk's hurt by the fact that they just have this surplus of offensive talent there and, you know, a good quarterback on a rookie contract, but I mean, he's outproduced Deebo the last 2 years, at least. He's been the number one guy in that regard, red zone and just total yardage. So hard to say he's not deserving of it. But when you're the 49ers and you start thinking down the road a little bit, you've already got a lot of money tied up in your offensive weapons. McCaffrey got the new deal. Deebo got a deal a couple years ago. They're probably going to have to pay their quarterback, Brock Purdy, next offseason.
Trent Williams is looking for a new deal, it seems like, too.
So at a certain point, you have to ask yourself which guys are expendable. Maybe it's just a timing thing where Ayuk's just, you know, wrong place at the wrong time in terms of when he's up for an extension.
And this also could be a part of when you're, you know, a guy that's already in a packed, talented offense, and you're with a mastermind, offensive-minded coach. You know what I'm saying? That feels like maybe I, you know, as good as Ayuk is, maybe I can go get whoever out of the next draft class and kind of get that same production for a much cheaper ticket. I mean, you that's kind of the idea when you get some of these coaches like a Kyle Shanahan, who is known to be this offensive genius. They feel like they can turn water into wine. So why pay a guy like Ayuk top money when, yeah, we may not get that production this year from our roster guys, but we can go get somebody out of the draft next year that can give us just that for cheaper.
Right, and obviously if you don't have a thought that you can keep this guy around long term, your first instinct is, okay, what can I flip him for? Mm-hmm. Get myself some draft capital where I can do what you just said and maybe get a premium pick and draft his replacement there. But by that same token, you're competing for a Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're one of a few teams there in the NFC that we've identified before the season even begins as a Super Bowl contender. Why would you willingly move on from one of your best offensive weapons, your top wide receiver, as we just talked about? Are you willing to give up on, all right, maybe I'm not going to get a return. He's going to walk in free agency next year because he's playing on the tag this year, right, if I'm not mistaken. So he'll walk. We'll get a compensatory pick. Are we okay with that, or do we really need, you know, a first rounder?
Yeah, we'll. I think this thing is coming to a head right now. That's the good thing. I do think we'll kind of get a resolution here soon. It does kind of feel like a trade is potentially going to happen when you start narrowing down the teams and you start to see some of the reports that are out there. It does start to feel a little bit like, you know, something's going to happen here soon, and I'm sure everybody involved would like to get this thing done before the season starts, so we'll see what happens. Let's go out to L.A., new head coach Jim Harbaugh. Of course, he's coming off of winning a national championship out in Michigan, and he's left behind a lot of chaos, it feels like, with Michigan being under investigation right now for the sign-stealing scandal and everything. Sharon Moore, he's taken over the head coach there. But it does look like something is going to happen to that football program out in Michigan. And here's Jim Harbaugh talking about those allegations.
I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, nor complicit in those said allegations. So for me, it's back to work and attacking with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
So I have a little bit of a problem with that, because my issue is, all right, I can understand if he's saying, and maybe this is what he's saying, but just from me listening to it, it doesn't necessarily come off this way. But if he's saying he doesn't apologize for, you know, he doesn't want to apologize for whatever wrongdoings they're being accused of, so be it. If you didn't do it and you feel like you want to stand on that, so be it. But you're leaving back a whole mess that these coaches that you supposedly love and you care about and all that, they have to deal with that. And if I would have taken it a lot better if it's like, you know what, I feel bad for the guys that are there, the coaches that were on my staff that are now taking over, that was on TV crying for me, talking about how much they love me. Yeah, I feel bad that they have to kind of be the ones to end up under the bus for something that I still stand by, I didn't do. But this whole, well, I didn't do it, I don't have to deal with it, I'm in a better place, I'm moving on, that just doesn't really sit right with me when people you supposedly care about are now having to deal with a mess that, whether you did it or not, you were the guy at the head of the table at that time. It happened under your watch. They now have to deal with that.
And whether he wants to admit it or not, that has to be the biggest, at least for me, the biggest reason why he jumped to the NFL.
Definitely. Come on.
And
of course.
I don't care that he's been generating NFL interest for the past couple years. You remember a year prior, it was the Vikings mm-hmm. were seen as the top landing spot for him. But he ends up going back to Michigan. It pays off. They win it all. And you could say, okay, what does he have left to prove at the college level? He wins the championship there. Now he can try to win the Super Bowl. I'm not buying it. Yeah. I mean, if none of this scandal stuff was going on, he'd still be at Michigan
yep.
today. No
yep.
doubt in my mind.
Yep.
So that's the big reason for him jumping ship. And it's funny, you know, he gets asked about it here in training camp and he's trying to dance around it. It's almost like he didn't think that it was going to follow him to the NFL,
right.
You know, that it somehow he's been completely absolved here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's the way that he's going to carry it, you know. Because, I mean, and he has to. He's coaching a professional football team. I mean, it is what it is. He's got to move on with his life. I'm not saying he shouldn't, but I just would have liked a more sensitive tone in that answer. If even if it's just a simple, like I said, just, you know, I feel bad for my guys that are there that I have to deal with that. It's a shame that they're having to deal with something that we didn't even do. You know, just if you want to double down on you being innocent and the program as a whole being innocent, I'm okay with that. But to kind of just throw your hands up like, well, I'm gone. It doesn't bother me anymore. It has nothing to do with me. I just think that's a little insensitive on for me. It does look like a couple of these starting quarterbacks will be starting in the preseason. We got Jordan Love. Looks like he's going to start for the Packers. Commanders quarterback Jaden Daniels looks like he's going to be starting for the Commanders on Saturday. How do you feel about quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks playing in the preseason?
I mean, rookies, I get it.
Yeah.
Obviously, Jaden Daniels, you want to get him as many reps as possible. But Jordan Love won. And I'm assuming it's probably just going to be a drive.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, you just paid this guy.
Right,
so in your mind, he's the guy. He's your franchise quarterback. You have no reservations in that regard. Why does he need to play a drive? What is he gaining from 5, 6, maybe 7-plus plays if it's a successful drive? And even that's a big if, considering what pieces might be around him. I just don't know if I'd be willing to do that. Take that risk over something so minuscule for a guy that I just invested all this money in.
Yeah, the fact that he just got his money would definitely make me a little uneasy. But then, just last year, I mean, we saw Patrick Mahomes playing quite a bit in the preseason. And you know, I guess the new analogy is if Andy does it, it must be okay. You know, if the Chiefs are doing it, it must be the right thing to do. I'm indifferent on it. I definitely feel you on the Jordan Love one. Like, the fact that he just got that, I just gave him a check. The last thing I want to see is this guy struggling to get off the field in a preseason game. But I do think there is something to getting that work in, getting in these true game-like situations where your heart's racing, where you feel like, you know, the pocket's closing in. It's something to be said for that. And these teams try to replicate it as best as they can in the regular season. I mean, in a training camp practices, it's not the same. It's not the same when you're out there with a different color jersey on and guys know they can't touch you. In these games, you really kind of train your mindset to get in those true game situations.
Yeah, if I'm coaching a Patrick Mahomes, I mean, how can you sit there and tell him no after everything he's accomplished?
Right.
He has some weight that he carries into that meeting room. And, you know, if you're Andy Reid, and Andy's as accomplished as anyone as a head coach, but even he might have some trouble saying to Patrick, all right, no, you're not playing at all. By that same, you know, argument, it's all fun and games. It's not an issue until he gets hurt. So if Patrick Mahomes goes out there and gets hurt in the preseason game, well, now all hell breaks loose and it's front page news and all over ESPN the next day.
You're the biggest idiot in the world.
Right. How could Andy Reid do this? You know, so it's not a big deal until it is.
Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll play you some more of this Ravens audio. We got to hear from the head coach John Harbaugh following yesterday's practice, Ardarius Washington and Malik Harrison as well. We'll hear from all three of those guys next here.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Here on the Fan. Practice is just now getting underway out in Owens Mills. I'll head out there following today's show. And you heard from John Harbaugh, the head coach there, talking about getting into that portion of camp where, you know, guys are separating themselves from the others. And that's what you'd expect to see. We've got the first preseason game on Friday evening, and that'll be a big start into some of these back-end guys, some of these guys that's trying to make the team, starting to make a name for themselves. Because at the end of the day, you could put together all this great film in practice, but if you're not going to do it in game situations, it's all for nothing. So there's a couple of guys that have had strong camps that I am looking forward to seeing in this preseason game. Guys like Malik Washington, honestly, has been Malik Cunningham has been a nice surprise for me at the receiver spot. I was skeptical about him playing receiver, but he looks like he's thinned out a little bit, looks like he's lost some weight, and he definitely looks the part at times. I think he's going to get a lot of opportunities out there. We'll see if he can make the most of them. Curious to see my guy Tez Walker in the preseason game as well. Chris Collier had a pretty good practice yesterday. Him and Owen Wright is probably going to get a lot of snaps in the preseason. Rasheen Ali as well. I don't expect to see Derrick Henry at all. Don't really expect to see a lot of Justice Hill either. So I would expect those to be the three running backs that get the bulk of the carries. Kadir Ishmael at tight end, he's definitely, when he gets the ball thrown his way, seems to do pretty good at catching it, and that's half the battle in itself. Had a couple of nice blocks yesterday in pass protection, so I think he's a guy that's going to get some opportunities in the games as well. Defensively, Nate Wiggins, excited to see him. I don't know how much he'll play, but I'm excited to see him in the preseason game. I think this is Pepe Williams. He needs to probably really show something in these preseason games. It's not that he's been bad in camp. It's just that it's a lot of guys that have been playing really well in this secondary in camp. And Pepe is just, while he's out there a lot, it's not a lot of memorable plays being made for me from him. Obviously, we've talked a lot about David Ajabo. I don't know how much he's going to play in these preseason games, but whenever he's out there, he has to make some sort of impact. I mean, it's getting to the point now to where I just don't know when we're going to see something from the guy, because yes, injuries have been a problem for him, which makes me feel like even more when he is on the field, you've got to show something. You got to maximize your opportunities.
Right. And another name here in the pass rush department, it looks like Adisa Isaac has been activated off the non-football injury list. He's passed his physical. So he was dealing with a hamstring injury, mm-hmm. but he's back today.
Well, that's huge news, because a lot of people have asked me about him, and I'm I'm like, look, I have nothing to tell you. I mean, we haven't seen the dude practice at all. So today will be, we'll see if he's out there today. I'm assuming so, since they're activating him, probably won't do a whole lot, but good to see him at least on the track back, because they need all, it's all hands on deck when it comes to this pass rush right now. I mean, it's going to be a committee by committee type of situation, and they need these young guys to kind of pull their weight. Let's hear another cut from John Harbaugh. We talked a lot about this offensive line. Ben Cleveland, he's been getting some work at center with Tyler Linderbaum dealing with that soft tissue injury. And here's John Harbaugh talking about what he's seen from Cleveland at center.
Well, he's been at center now since the first day of OTAs. He's been working in there, so he continues to work in there. Tyler's out right now. They're kind of evaluating him. He had some discomfort, and they're, you know, we're going to hold him out. We're going to be very cautious with Tyler, obviously. It's not anything he needs right now in terms of practice, so we'll kind of rest him up there, I guess. And but you got, so we're going to work Ben, we're going to work Voorhees in there, we're going to work all those guys.
Yeah, you know who he didn't name? He didn't name Nick Samick, who's actually a center, hasn't really been getting many reps there at all. He's talking about pulling other guys from other positions to be in that backup center role, and for a guy like Ben Cleveland, it's turning into the more you can do right now, because while there is a position battle right now for right guard, I haven't seen a lot of Ben Cleveland at right guard. I've seen him at right tackle. I've seen him at in small sample sizes at left guard. But I think Voorhees is kind of locking down that starting left guard spot. And now it's looking like Cleveland's getting a shot at the backup center. And like I said yesterday, he really only had the one bad snap. Other than that, I thought he was pretty good, not only with his snaps, but just standing upright in general. I thought he was pretty good at helping on the double teams, a couple of stunts going on. That was one of Ben Cleveland's better practices, I would say, yesterday.
So they want to give their in-house guys a chance. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. They've been holding on hope with Cleveland here for many years at this point. But behind the scenes, they are exploring outside the organization. Brought in former Dolphins center Connor Williams for a visit. That was yesterday. Sounds like he's at this point just deciding between coming here to Baltimore or going to Seattle. Those are his two prominent offers at this point. Williams, I mean, he's not a notable name. I mean, he's not a superstar. But he did start 9 games for Miami last year. Various positions, it looks like, mm-hmm. but a good amount of work at center.
Yeah, I mean, look, they need some help. If nothing else, they need more depth, I think, on this offensive line, especially if we're talking about Makari ending up starting at right tackle for them. Now, a lot of their depth is kind of depleted. Rosengarten, I'm curious to see. I would not be surprised if we kind of get a little bit of what we got last year in terms of the rotating tackles. It wouldn't shock me if we're seeing a little bit of rotations, whether it's with Makari and Rosengarten or Falele and somebody. It just wouldn't surprise me if they do some weird things with the right side of that offensive line, at least at the start of the year until they find a rhythm, because I don't know how much they really want to lean on Makari as a starting right tackle playing every offensive snap. I don't know if they can really trust that Fa'alele can be available to give you his best in every offensive snap, especially early in the year where it's still super hot in some locations. Still here in Baltimore, it'll be hot in September. So I'm kind of preparing myself for them to get a little creative with the right side of that offensive line. Let's switch gears. Let's hear from Ardarius Washington. Here he is saying that he expects a big year from Rashad Bateman.
He's done really well, especially that we've seen that catch in the end zone. You know what I'm saying? He's making the tough catches. He's giving us a lot of good releases off the line and everything like that. But Bates is going to be explosive this year. He's going to make a lot of plays for us for sure.
Look, I mean, you're not going to find anybody out there that's going to say a bad word about Rashad Bateman or any of their teammates. They're saying exactly what we expect them to say. Bateman, to this point in camp, has looked really good. I can't deny that. He has. Am I sold that he's going to be wide receiver one? Not necessarily, because I think you get into end game, I still think Zay Flowers is able to do a little more than what Bateman can do. I still think Mark Andrews is going to be a focal point, and I think Isaiah Likely is going to be a part of that as well. Doesn't mean Rashad Bateman won't get his. I think he's definitely going to be a bigger part of this offense than he was last season. And that's a step in the right direction in itself. They don't need Rashad Bateman to be a 1,200-yard receiver. I don't think that's what their idea is when they're saying that he's going to be a bigger part of the offense. But they what they can't afford is for Rashad Bateman to have these two catches for 17 yards types of games to where he's just not even out there. I mean, and even when he is out there, he's a non-factor. I think those days is what they're trying to get over.
At the same time, though, I think those days, they are going to happen.
They are.
But I don't necessarily view it as 100% a negative. I think sometimes at this time of the year, training camp, we get into these traps of just talking about, oh, what's this player's stats going to look like this season? And we always shoot for the moon. And in the same breath, people are saying, well, Derrick Henry needs, you know, 20 to 25 carries a game. But we've also got to give Mark Andrews 10 targets and Isaiah Likely 6 or 7 and Zay 10 plus.
You add it up, it's like 200 plays.
Right. So somebody's going to be the odd man out. Mm-hmm. And just where Rashad Bateman's at right now in his career, I think we're beyond him just being a number one at any point in his career. It's time to start shifting and being a little more realistic and say, hey, can this guy be a number three? Can he produce like a number three? And that means staying healthy for an entire season. That means, okay, maybe you have a down week, but not going three or four games in a row where you're missing in action. Maintaining some level of chemistry with your quarterback. All of those things have not happened throughout his career. If he can check those boxes, the rest will fall into place. I'm not concerned with him being a 1,000-yard guy or a 10-touchdown guy. He shouldn't be outperformed by a Nelson Agholor.
Right.
I think that's kind of the base level here.
Yeah, I mean, you look at Rashad Bateman, and he finished with 367 receiving yards last year. I mean, that's just not going to get it done. I would say this year, I expect Rashad Bateman to have at least a couple hundred-yard receiving games. I don't think that's out of the realm of possibility for him with what he gives them with his yak ability. And if they can kind of get that down-the-field passing game going with him, there are opportunities there for him to make those big plays. But last year, his best game in terms of yardage was against Miami, where he had four catches for 54 yards. I mean, that should be worst case scenario for Rashad Bateman this year, where we're talking about four catches for 40-something yards, 50-something yards. All right, that's a down day for Rashad Bateman. But you're right, you can't continue to have these games to where he's just out there getting cardio or he's just on the sideline holding his helmet. Those days have to be over for sure. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll switch gears, talk some Orioles baseball. Orioles back at it tonight out in Toronto. Grayson Rodriguez on the mound for the Birds. We'll preview game one of this series next here on The Fan. Wide receiver Russell Gage, formerly with the Tampa Bay Bucks and with the Atlanta Falcons. So that, as much as we've talked up Rashad Bateman here, just another name thrown into the wide receiver hat. These numbers on this team, when it comes time to finalize this roster and figure out who their wide receivers are going to be to make this team, is going to be interesting for sure. And that's assuming Russell Gage is actually able to make a true impact right now in camp. It does look like he's practicing today.
Right. Patellar tendon kept him out all of last year. So you're wondering, all right, is he damaged goods at this point? What's his age? He's 28. So still relatively young.
Yeah.
His numbers throughout his career, I mean,
pretty good.
Very serviceable. Never a number one
right
type of guy, but he's had 700 yard seasons in 2020 and 2021, even 400 yards in 22. So is he still capable of that? Seems like a big question mark, but if nobody else wanted him, he is coming off the injury. I don't know. You're rolling the dice. It's a lottery ticket move. I don't have a huge problem with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's low risk in this type of move. You don't want him. You let him go. He's made some impacts in his last couple of stops. He's a guy that, like you said, was never a number one receiver, but he can make plays down the field. He's a down the field type of threat for sure. So we'll see what happens, but they did sign him today, and he is on the practice field today as well. Talking some Orioles Real quick, Orioles first pitch out in Toronto, 7:07, taking on the Blue Jays. Grayson Rodriguez on the mound for the Birds, 13-4 on the season, 3.8 ERA, 1.24 WHIP, going up against Chris Bassitt, who's 8-10 on the year with a little over a four ERA, 1.45 WHIP right now. And it feels like the Orioles are always licking their chops when they see the Blue Jays. I mean, we know Ryan Mountcastle definitely is, because he seems to torch this team every time he plays them. But it just feels like as a whole, the Orioles are able to kind of put together big offensive games when they go up against this Blue Jays team. They've been hot here as of late. The Blue Jays are a team, and we were talking to one of their beat reporters earlier, Ben Nicholson-Smith, about the team. This is a team that's underachieved all year. They can't wait for the season to be over. This is the type of series, AL East foe or not, that you would like to see the Orioles kind of go out there and take care of business and kind of run through this team, especially with the Yankees right there on their heels.
And last week, it was sort of a daunting task for the Orioles. You were going to face Toronto four times in the span of 3 days. You had the doubleheader on Monday, and they walk away with three wins there. Yeah. And it may be a little bit of a spark they needed when a lot of things with the team still weren't going very well. They didn't play the best defense in that series. They got the big, couple big offensive games, but pitching here and there was shaky. This is a team that, to be honest, you kind of want to face right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're trying to stay on top of the division. Usually you don't say that about facing another AL East team, that this is a team we want to face. But I don't know. It worked last week. It should work again this week. And for Grayson on the mound tonight, you know, yeah, he got his 13th win of the season last time out, but had a ton of run support and really early in that game didn't look his best. I believe that was the day that Jackson Holliday hit his grand slam. So up until that point, it was a little shaky with Grayson, that he got early run support, then gave it right back. And then, of course, the grand slam, the Orioles pulled away. But you can't rely on 10 runs every time you go out there. And if he's truly going to be the second best starter on this team that you throw out there in a playoff series behind Corbin Burns, then he's got to start showing down the stretch for me that he's a little less volatile. You know, we know what his ceiling is, but can we eliminate the starts where he's giving up five or six runs?
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I'd like to see Grayson kind of turn it up a little bit here recently as well. You know, I'd like to see him get deeper into the game if possible, be a little more efficient, give up a little less damage. Like you said, he got a lot of run support his last time out against the Blue Jays. But yeah, it feels like the consistency factor hasn't necessarily been there with Grayson as of late in terms of him just being dominant. I mean, we talk about Grayson not only being a number two for these guys, but a potential like 1B type of guy in a rotation when he's at his best. But it's been a little bit since I've felt that way about him this season. And I know it's still there, no doubt about it. I still have a ton of confidence in Grayson Rodriguez, and it could be a lot worse than the way that he's playing. I don't want to make it seem like he flat out stinks out there. He doesn't. But yeah, I definitely would like to see, it'd be great if this was the type of game where he goes out there, gives them 7+ or something like that. Like I feel like they could use that, and it looked dominant. Get back to racking up the strikeouts. Get back to, you know, minimizing the damage, minimizing the guys that are on base right now, because he's a dominant pitcher when he's at his best, but it just feels like it's been a second since he's had like a really true dominant out. And I'm looking here, maybe we have to go back to July 2nd against the Mariners. The 6 1/3, gave up the 2 hits. Did have 4 walks in that game, but 8 strikeouts and 104 pitches. Yeah, I mean, 6 1/3 is, you'll take that. He goes into the 7th inning at least. I'll take that. I'll take that from Grayson Rodriguez and minimize. And granted, you'd like more run support. Hopefully, he gets more than 2 runs tonight. But yeah, I just want to see a true vintage dominant Grayson Rodriguez type of outing, and this could be the type of team you get that from.
And overall, he has raised his floor considerably this season. You remember the issues he had last year. You know, he'd flash his stuff and throw 6 scoreless. Next time out, he wouldn't even make it through 3,
right,
and he'd
right.
get shelled. So it was part of the reason he got sent back down to the minors. Looked much better when he came back, but just last year to this year alone, his floor now, he's a guy that goes out there and you expect him, even if he doesn't have his best stuff, to last at least five innings, sort of similar to what they got in Zach Eflin. Even if he's going to be a little shaky, maybe he gives up four plus runs, he's still going to eat those innings. But moving into the future, next year especially, just looking at the way the rotation looks on paper, if Corbin Burns isn't coming back, now there's even more pressure on Grayson Rodriguez to fully reach that ace potential that we all know he has it. I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that this guy can be an ace in Major League Baseball, but is he ready to take that role as soon as next year?
And be a dominant ace. Like, it's not just about being a Burns is showing us, you know, it's more than just being an ace. He's a dominant ace. He's one of the best aces in baseball. And like you said, I think we all believe Grayson has that potential, but will he be able to show it on a consistent basis is what we're looking for from him. Remember, first pitch at 7:07, Baltimore baseball tonight. At 6 o'clock tonight, Tim Barbalace and Jim Hunter, I believe, on Baltimore baseball tonight right here on The Fan. Coming up next here on the show, we'll wrap things up, take one last trip through the Funhouse with Quick Draw before Inside Access takes over at 2. That's next here on The Fan. Along with guys like Adafe Owe, Arthur Millett, also among some of the key players not practicing today. Offensive line, they've been coming out later, so the beat reporters out there probably just don't have the attendance for them yet. We'll see what happens once they do get out there and we can see who's out there. I don't expect Tyler Linderbaum to be a part of that group, but we'll see. We'll see if he makes an appearance at practice today. And Russell Gage, if you missed it, the Ravens did sign him. He is practicing today. Deonte Hardy, who has been missing quite a few practices here throughout training camp, he's back on the field today. And Adisa Isaac was activated and is making his debut to the practice field today as well. Let's take a trip through the Funhouse before we get out of here.
Quick Draws Funhouse. The rudeness, tuneness text reader.
Who's the fastest gun alive?
This side of the Chesapeake.
I like that Quick Draw.
105.7 The Fan.
We'll start with Howard in Baltimore. Says, I believe the O's need to win 5 of their next 6 here against Toronto and Tampa Bay. Really generate some separation over the Yankees. I don't fear the Yankees, but it is time to start making some moves to separate themselves. The new players should be all settled in by now. No concerns in that regard.
Yeah, I mean, you definitely want to win these winnable games that you have in front of you right now. You definitely want to beat the Torontos of the world, the Tampas of the world. And it doesn't hurt that these are teams in your division as well. But look, you don't have to fear the Yankees. The fact of the matter is they're right there whether you fear them or not. So you got to try to get some sort of breathing room from this team, because now we're in the stage of the season where who's going to get hot first and who's going to stay hot, because both of these teams are evenly matched. They're really good. I think the Yankees are better than they have looked for the most part, or I should say over the last couple of months, but they're turning it on the same time that the Orioles are.
Ultimately, it's probably going to come down to that final head-to-head.
Yep.
And that's going to be the difference maker.
Yep.
Let's see. One more here on the Ravens. This texter says that nobody considers Rashad Bateman a number one at this point unless they're delusional. Expectations have been lowered to a point where I hope he can be a serviceable third or fourth option.
I guess third option when you look at Zay and Mark. Okay, I could see that. I mean, Rashad Bateman, I don't think he's less than a third option for this team right now, the way that they're currently constructed. And on any given week, he could be the second option. He could be the first option. I think he is that talented. But yeah, I'm not looking at it right now to where I view Rashad Bateman as a wide receiver one. I still believe Zay Flowers is that guy for the wide receiver group. That'll do it for us. Another great one in the books. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Today, I'll be filling in for Bob for the rest of the week. Don't touch that dial. Inside Access, they're up next, taking over at 2 o'clock until 6 o'clock right here on The Fan. Until next time, class dismissed.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.